Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower, a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Somebody say safe. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, pick up the pace. Remember, it's not what you're running from, but more importantly, it's what we are running to. You may be seated. This is, I believe it's our sixth installment, if not our sixth, it's our fifth installment of Run. And the way that we run and how we are running makes a difference. We've talked about what we run towards, that's our direction. What we are running from, that's protection. Why we run, that's revelation. And we've talked about if we ever get the right revelation, it will always change the way we run. Because if you live long enough, church, some days you're not going to feel like running. Some days you're not going to want to run. How many like physical runners we have in the room? Like you actually run for exercise. And there's going to come a day, and I'm sure that it's at least once a week, you don't feel like running. How many of you work out? You go to the gym a few times. I'm sure that every day that you go to the gym, you're not like, man, I can't wait. This is going to be awesome. Some days you're like, oh, man, this is going to be trying today. And so revelation kicks in on the days when you're not feeling it. Faith kicks in on the days when your flesh wants to stop, but your faith says no. There is always something worth running for. And so why we run, that revelation is important. We've talked about running with endurance. Some translations say patience or perseverance, but running, not just starting strong, but continuing strong to finish strong. We've talked about running with purpose. And then we've talked about, in the last 2 weeks, running with vision or running with the word. Why you run your race will impact how you run your race. But tonight we're going to jump into a brand new topic, running with maturity. I've saved that for last because there is no mature running unless there's enduring running. And there is no mature running unless we know how to run with purpose, unless we have a word or a revelation that drives us to run. Somebody say, act your age. Have you ever heard that? Has anyone ever said that to you, or you've said that about somebody else? Rather than act your age, this is what I want us to really embrace as we dive into this tonight. Not to act our age, because age is just a number. I know immature 50-year-olds, and I know mature 15-year-olds. So maturity has nothing to do with age, so it's not acting your age. I want us to live with maturity. Maturity says I've been there and I've done that. Maturity says I have experience, I have knowledge, I have information. That's why it is not tied to an age, but maturity can come very quick to those that really desire it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Paul writing to Timothy says this in the King James Version, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now I want us to get a little context from where Paul is writing from to Timothy. Most Bible history, and I want us to preface what I'm about to say with the fact that Paul writes to Timothy many times in 1 Timothy and in his second letter, and he refers to youth, he refers to young, he says things like, don't let people despise you because of your age. Here he is saying, flee youthful lust. But I say that because I want us to understand that Timothy was not a teenager when this was written to him. I know we like to lump him in with Jeremiah and the three Hebrew children and Daniel, that they were young men, and David, but Timothy is not a young man by our standards. Most Bible history agrees that Timothy joined Paul in his ministry expeditions and endeavors when he was around 16 years of age. So he heard Paul preaching, heard him teaching about Jesus. Something different than Timothy had grown up, and at 16 years of age, Paul preached it and taught it in such a way that Timothy said, I want to be involved in this. Bible history would tell us 14 to 15 years later, Paul sends his first letter, known as 1 Timothy, to Timothy. That means that Timothy would be somewhere around the age of 30 to 31. Some say he was as old as 40 when he received the first letter. Paul calls Timothy a youth in 1 Timothy 4:12. We should ask ourselves what the Greek term for youth meant in that context. In the ancient Roman world, the Greek term is neotes, which is similar to the Greek term neophyte. In the New Testament text, a 31-year-old man is still considered a youth, and he is in the peak years of his youth. A man can also be considered youth until the age of 40. I guess that's why I'm still involved in youth ministry. Therefore, it is reasonable to believe that Timothy could have been up to 40 years of age when he received the first letter that Paul wrote. Roughly 1 year passes between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Hold on, I'm going somewhere with this. Paul wrote 2 Timothy during his second imprisonment in Rome. When he wrote 2 Timothy, he was just days or weeks before he was to be beheaded and killed as a martyr for Christ. Check this out. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul is writing from a place where he is aware that his life is almost over and winding down. He's writing from a place that there is a chance that he might not ever be free again. So his letter to Timothy is almost a passing of the baton in ministry that Paul had been leading, or rather the race that he had been running, his leg was about to be over and he was going to pass the baton to a young man named Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, two chapters later from where we just read, Paul would utter the phrase, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have run my leg of the relay. I have done my part of the relay. And now I'm looking for a Timothy to hand the baton to." Can I tell you that the runners that have run before us, church, they have run hard and they have run enduring and they have run with purpose and with vision. And we do them a disservice and a disgrace if we fumble the baton on the last leg of the race that we are running. Can I tell you that as the world shakes and quakes, that Jesus is getting ready to return for us, the bride of Christ. That right now the marriage supper of the Lamb is being prepared for you and I that will spend eternity with Jesus. And so when I wake up in the morning, money should not be on my mind. When I wake up in the morning, fame should not be on our mind. When we wake up in the morning, we should remember the cloud of witnesses that surrounds us and say, "All right, God, I've got the baton in my hand, and I'm going to run in such a way that, Lord, blesses them but brings you glory. I'm going to finish this race strong." He said, "I've fought the fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith." This is why context is so important when you're studying and reading the Bible. I tell new believers all the time that the Bible is not written in chronological order, and so it should not be read that way. Because Paul wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, but 2 Timothy is the final words he would ever pen. You think of all the good things that Paul has written. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. If God is for us, who can be against us?" All of those are such strong statements. But how many of you know the last thing someone says is very important? So one of the last things he tells Timothy is, he said, "I want you to flee and run from youthful lust." He said, "I want you to pursue righteousness. I want you to pursue faith, love, and peace. And I want you to surround yourself with those who are running that race." So now that we have the context that Timothy was not a teenager and that Timothy is getting ready to carry on the greatest ministry that had ever existed outside of Christ, the words in 2 Timothy now we see as a warning and an encouragement on how a leader, and if you're here on a Wednesday night, I promise you, you are a leader. If you're married, you're a leader. If you're a parent, you're a leader. If you're a Christian in a lost world, you are a leader. And you should be, praise God, a mature believer. So this is a warning and encouragement on leaders and mature believers and how we should run. The way you run should look different now than it did when you first received Christ. How many of you have matured in Christ since the day you said yes to Jesus? How many of you have ever gone back, and Facebook has a way of doing that to us because of their memories, but how many of you have ever looked back at an old yearbook and thought, man, I look good and I look a lot different, but then I look at my clothes and I'm thinking, what was I thinking? Why didn't someone stop me? But then you look around and you see everybody's dressed that way. Everybody looks that way. I'm glad that I have matured in Christ. I'm glad that I am different than before I was saved. But I'm glad I'm not living the same kind of life and I have the same kind of faith that I did when I was 6 months into my run. I'm stronger than I used to be. I'm more anointed than I used to be. I'm more focused than I used to be. All that comes with maturity. Manny and I have been accused of not letting our kids have a childhood and rushing them to grow up. But now at 42, having a 20 and a 17-year-old that are working and providing and all of the things that they're doing, I'm glad I didn't wait with the rest of the world, because I would accuse most parents of, you're letting your 18, 19, and 20-year-old still act like they're 8 years old. I'm telling you right now, if they were 18 years old in my house, they would not be playing Xbox and PlayStation all day long. They better go get a 40-hour-a-week job, and then they can play all they want. But remember, they're on your Wi-Fi, praise God. They're sucking up your oxygen. They're laying on a bed you provide. We've got to help this generation mature, and the good news is you can mature fast. Running on milk, church, looks a lot different than somebody who's eating steaks every day. The mature have moved past milk. The mature have moved to prime rib, praise God. The mature are saying, God, the superficial is no longer what I want. Deep calls to deep. And God, I want to go deeper with you. I want to go deeper for you. 2 Timothy, flee also youthful lusts. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace within that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let's read the same verse in the NLT. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. I love how that says that. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. I've got news for everyone in the room and online. When it says youthful lust, it's not just talking about sex and pornography. Youthful lust is basically the lust of the flesh that happened in immature people. So when Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child, I understood as a child. Could I even go further? I lusted in a childish way. So youthful lust can look like arrogance, pride. Youthful lust could be money, selfishness, entitlement, impatience. Youthful lust could be a lot of things. And here's the thing, church. A young person that is dealing with youthful lust, in the least, it's understandable. At the worst, it's damaging. However, an old person that is still dealing with youthful lust, that is incomprehensible and dangerous. Once you come into Christ, you've got to keep walking. See, some of us, we read Proverbs 18 where it says, the name of the Lord is a righteous, is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. And we think in baseball terms, and are safe, meaning you barely made it in. See, that's the problem with some of us. We stepped over the line when we got saved, but we live right next to that line. So when the enemy comes against us, or he entices us, or he tempts us, we are so close to the line that if he knocks us back one step, we are back in the world. That's why when you said yes to Jesus, it wasn't just a yes in the altar. Every day you wake up saying yes again, and you get as far away from that line as you can get. Flee youthful lust. Don't stay. Keep going. We all know someone who does not act their age. Not acting your age is foolish, but not living your age is perilous and could cost you your future. Let's not talk about your numerical age tonight. Let's talk about how many years you've known Jesus. If you've known him for 2 days, I'm going to give you a pass. But if you've known him for 2 years and you're still sucking on that bottle, or you think you've arrived because you've graduated to a sippy cup, I'm talking to somebody today that you're not growing at the rate that God wants you to grow at. And growth does not happen just on Wednesday nights. Growth happens when you wake up every day saying, God, I'm going to pursue you and the things of God. God, I'm looking to you. God, you are the author and the finisher of my faith. God, I am pursuing you and all that you have. I want to live a mature Christian life. We're not just talking about physical age, but something far more important, acting and living at the level of spiritual maturity. I know people who've been saved for 2 years that are more spiritually mature than those who have been saved for 20 years. We must know, and we do know, hopefully, that salvation and spiritual maturity are not the same thing. Your salvation, once you say yes to God, praise God, that is it. You've got eternity in your future. But listen, God didn't want to just save you to save you. God loves you enough to save you, but God loves you enough to leave you here so you can help everybody around you get saved with you. It should bother us that we have family members that don't know Jesus. It should bother us that we work with people that have cancers that don't know Jesus. It should bother us that we have our kids have friends that are dealing with things just because they don't know Jesus. They don't know how to deal with those things. Spiritual maturity definitely impacts how we run our race. Let's go back to the New Living Translation. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Very quickly, stimulate is defined as to raise the levels of, to excite activity, to excite growth. Here's the thing, we are all growing in one way or the other. We're either growing a weed in our lives, or we are growing something that is going to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. In our culture, when we hear stimulate, we hear that root word stimulant. Stimulant and drugs have now become synonymous. A drug represents an outside or an external substance or force that when ingested, and when we say ingested, now what is on the outside we have allowed on the inside. So when we talk about stimulating or stimulants, we have now let something on the external come on the inside, and now that affects the way we feel and the way we act. We say when somebody is intoxicated or high, they are under the, there's only one thing we should be under the influence of, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. That is why Paul would say it's the only time the word addicted is used in the way that we use it in the entire Bible, when he said, I am addicted to the ministry of Jesus Christ. He said, my addiction, what I long for, has changed because the direction that I run has changed. Paul doesn't just caution Timothy, he commands Timothy. He said, if you're going to be a mature believer and run your race with maturity, you must run from any and every outside force that stimulates, that raises the level of your flesh, run from it. That raises the level of your fear, run from it. That excites worldly desire in you, run from it. That excites the growth of worldly nature, run from it. I'm here to tell you, run, 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 run. That's what Joseph did when Potiphar's wife came after him. He ran so fast, he left his tunic in her hands. The problem with a lot of us is we stick around and talk to the devil. If Eve had had her running shoes on, none of this would have happened. But she stood there and she talked. Quit talking to the adversary about your downfall and just run to Jesus. Remember, it's not what you're running from, it's what you're running to. It said, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace. Here's the thing, church, and I've tried it, I'm sure you've tried it, and it doesn't work. You cannot run in two directions. At the same time, you cannot run both ways. Now, you can try to run towards Jesus looking over your shoulder, but you're going to trip up. You cannot run two directions at once. This is what Jesus said. No man can serve two masters. For you will either hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. I want to encourage somebody, but I want to warn somebody. It's time as the church that we get one foot out of the world and put both foot into the kingdom. Quit straddling the fence. Quit trying to run both races. Quit trying to run on both tracks. Quit trying to appease both sides. You are either in it or you are out of it. Jesus said there is not one person that has ever been alive that can serve two masters. Do you understand that Jesus in John 4 was tempted by the adversary to bow down to him, but Jesus knew all God wrapped in flesh. I can't bow to you because I'm living for the Father's will in my life. Some of us need to evict the devil and let him know in March of 2024, the two-sidedness, the double-mindedness, the two-facedness is over. It's over. There's not two versions of me. There's the saved me, the sanctified me, the anointed me. That's it. That's all you get. Paul says, don't just run, but run to instead. Run after, pursue, and then he gives us four things. That word pursue in the Greek is epidaiko. It means literally to follow. Four things. When we run with maturity that we're going to run after, that we're going to pursue and follow. Number one, we're going to pursue righteous living. Righteous living. I was watching a video on social media this week, and I loved it. It encouraged me. It was late last night. Someone sent me a video. And there was a pastor talking, and he said, just because righteousness is free to you and I doesn't mean that it didn't cost God something. See, in 2,000 years ago, in a few days, we're going to celebrate the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ purchased. The Bible says, don't you know that you were bought with a price? It purchased us for him, but it also paid for the righteousness so that you and I, as messed up as we were and or are, that God said, my righteousness is now given to you. Righteousness simply means we are now standing in right standing with God. As you run after righteous living, church, you don't have time for the flesh. So if you make time for righteousness, you won't have time for the flesh. But if you make time for the flesh, you won't have time for righteousness. You and I choose every day what we're going to run after and what we're going to run to. And see, the devil laughs at some of us because we run so hard for righteous living Sunday morning. And we run so hard for righteous living Wednesday night. But then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, Monday, and other, we run so hard for flesh. He said, well, they're not going to get anywhere because they're trying to run two races. You can't run both directions. Pursue righteous living. Number two, he said, you've got to pursue faithfulness. Faithfulness is an amazing thing. It's amazing to me that most of the counseling requests we get at Living Way, most, not all, most, are from the least faithful people that come to Living Way. Well, I knew it'd get quiet. Not all the time. 90%, let's say 90%, 9 out of every 10 counsel requests, we ain't seen them in 3 months. Or we see them 4 times in 6 months. You know that old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away? I think a prayer a day keeps the devil away. I think worship every day keeps the devil away. I think church attendance 3 or 4 times a week keeps the devil away. There are so many of us that want a faithful God, and we are making that request from a faithless heart. I want all of you, you get half of me. I want all of you, I want you every day, you get me 3 hours a week on Sunday, and if you're lucky, Wednesday night. But if my son has baseball practice, deuces, I'll see you Easter Sunday. If I get a chance to pick up a third shift and make an extra $130, deuces, you'll get your $13 maybe. This is the reality of faithfulness. God honors faithfulness. You know why I know God honors faithfulness? Because McDonald's honors faithfulness. DirecTV honors faithfulness. If you are a customer of someone repeatedly and regularly for a long enough time, you can get them to give you free stuff, reduce your bill, all of those things. Now, if wicked people honor faithfulness, how much more does a faithful God honor men and women who get on the track and say, God, you've got me here, warts and all, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. I'm running the race. You can't run me off the track. Some days I'm gonna crawl. Some days I'm gonna walk. Some days I'm gonna run. Other days I might stand there and somebody have to give me a push, but I am faithful. Pursue faithfulness. I got to hurry. Number three, pursue love. I said pursue charity, pursue love. If I'm actively loving, I don't have time to hate. If I'm saying I love you, I can't cuss you. If I'm praying for you, I can't gossip about you. You know, prayer is really the best kind of gossip. Because you're talking to God about somebody in their situation, and he's the only one that can really help in the situation anyway. So if you like running your mouth, don't text it. Don't call somebody. Don't get in the corner somewhere. Hit your knees in your private place of thunder, your secret place of thunder like David, and say, God, I need to tell you about so-and-so. Lord, did you know they're sleeping with somebody? God, did you know this is what they're... I need you to show up, and I need you to heal their marriage, heal their children. Do something. If I'm busy loving, if I'm running after love, I don't have time to hate. I don't have time to hate. Fourth and final, he said, pursue peace. As you run after peace, you don't have time for drama and chaos. When you run after peace, when you run with maturity, maturity, listen, I love this. I was thinking about this today because as I've gotten older, I've gotten a little wiser. Everything that happens doesn't need my narrative. Even if I'm right. Maturity knows that you could win the fight, but that you don't need to fight that fight. Maturity is knowing I could fix all of that chaos and I could give them a piece of my mind and I could help them out and they need to hear this. But maturity is saying, God, you work in that mess. I'm not going to wade into those waters. I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to let it be. I'm going to let it breathe. This is what I found. Give me two more minutes. What I found in my race. They're going to put this on the wall. I love this. I found this out while I've been running for 42 years. What I run after, I catch. What I run after, I catch. When we say, you need to pursue God, God's not trying to run away from you. God's saying, I'm right here. Run, catch me, embrace me. Love is not eluding you. Peace and faithfulness, righteous living, they're not elusive. What you run after, you're going to catch. So don't be surprised when you run after the wrong thing and get bit. You caught it. You slept with the snake and now you're moaning and complaining about the bite. You got fleas because you keep spending time with the dogs. You've been hanging out with clowns and you're somehow surprised that you're under the big top at the circus. Whatever you run after, you're going to catch. So run after Jesus and the things of God with all that you have. Here's the other thing I've learned. What I follow, I become. What I follow, I become. To this day, I can answer a phone And somebody will say, those that know my dad and I, somebody will say, Steve, no, this is Brandon. Man, you sound just like your dad. It's not genetic. It's that we've spent so much time together and I've followed him that I now sound like him. What you follow, you will become. It takes a level of righteousness. Go and stand on your feet. I'm done with this. It takes a level of righteousness to pursue righteous living. And the longer I pursue righteous living, the more righteous I become. I'm going to go through all four of these because this is just great. It takes a level of faith to pursue faithfulness. And the longer I pursue faithfulness, the more faithful I become. It takes a level of love to pursue love. And the longer I pursue love, the more loving I become. It takes a level of peace to pursue peace. But the longer I pursue peace, the more peaceful I become. 2 Timothy, the final thing he says, after he says, run from everything that stimulates the youthful lusts, tries to drag you back to when you were younger and immature. He said, run from that, but run to righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Then he says this, enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. After Paul goes into great detail on how Timothy should run his race and the maturity it will take to finish his assignment, Paul then says, as much as it is important on how you run your race, he said, let me follow it up with something just as important. Who you run your race with, it matters. It says, enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Who you run with will affect how you run. You can't run with the devil and be surprised when you don't make heaven. You can't run with fornicators and then complain about your relationships. You can't run with liars and then be void and empty of the truth. You can't run with cheaters and then complain when you get cheated. I'm running with the faithful because at the very least, their faithfulness is going to rub off on me. I'm running with the peaceful because, Brother Charlie, at the very least, some of their extra peace is going to splash over on me. I'm running with the righteous. I'll tell you one on me. Every once in a while, I go out to dinner with somebody from the church, with friends, with leaders. One thing they never have to worry about me, and one thing I never have to worry about them, is nobody's ordering alcohol at that table. That's righteous living for leaders, for believers. You know why we don't have to think that thought? Because we're running towards righteousness. You know, but the biggest thing that we have to really concentrate on when we're sitting together, not gossiping. That's just honesty. And can I tell you that gossiping can be just as damning as drunkenness? I knew we wouldn't get a big clap there because a lot of us have been gossiping. And I'm here to talk to you whether you got a drinking problem, drug problem, relationship problem, gossip problem, sin problem, whatever it is. I'm just here to tell you, turn your back on that and start running for Jesus. Start running for righteousness. Start running. Every 5K that San Antonio puts on, there's a purpose for that run. I'm running to bring awareness to this. I'm running to bring awareness to this. Simply put, church, I'm running to bring awareness to Jesus. I'm running to Jesus. I'm running with Jesus. I'm running for Jesus. And as these three ladies have broken the ice here tonight, I want to encourage somebody, it's time to step out of the kiddie pool and dive deep tonight. It's time to run with maturity. It's time to shake off the immaturity that sometimes creeps into church and creeps in to believers' lives. It's time to shake all that off and say, God, the assignment you've given me, the purpose you placed on me is so great that my immaturity and who I've been and who I used to be, it cannot get the job done. So God, I want to run with maturity. The youthful lusts are behind me. Righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace are ahead of me. If you're in this building tonight and you don't know Jesus, whether you knew it or not, you've been running from him. But I've got great news for you. Jesus doesn't get his feelings hurt. Jesus doesn't get offended and try to teach you a lesson. Jesus doesn't say, you've been running from me all of your life, so nope, I'm not available anymore. Jesus is available right here, right now, tonight.